Hello, this is Warren Hoyt, and I wanted to speak to you today about the Reformation of Islam. I was watching the news the other day, and they had some moderate Muslims on. They were talking about how Islam needs to be reformed and so forth, and then I saw an interview with a man who speaks against the evils of Islam and so forth, and the CNN interviewer was saying to him, but don't we need to work with the moderate Muslims to encourage them to reform Islam? Then I was watching YouTube and I saw a clip of some Arab guy named Hashim al-Madani. I don't know him. I never heard of him before. But the clips I saw, I liked. And he spoke about Linda Sarsour, who's a really dangerous and phony representative of Islam that right now is sort of the golden girl of the left. They seem to use her a lot. And she was one of the sponsors of the Women's March and so on. And there's a lot of talk about moderate Muslims and their efforts to reform Islam. Regarding the latter, this guy, Hashim al-Madani, he said, basically, good luck with that. It's like, you know, he knows the Arab world, he's from there, and he said, good luck with that, it ain't going to ever happen. But watching his little video stimulated me to talk about this, because I got to respond to this idea. It's just too commonly spoken about on TV. Reporters so frequently say things like, well, have you seen the violence in the holy war scriptures in the Christian holy book? I mean, the Bible? Didn't Christians and Jews have to reform their religion? Shouldn't we give the Muslims a chance to reform theirs? You know, you've heard it. Things like that. They're saying constantly. Something just has to be said about all this by people who know something about history and Christian theology. Now look, much has already been said and written. I wonder if anybody wants to learn the truth. There's thousands of pages out there, you know, on all these issues, if you have a mind that's open and you're willing to learn. In this little podcast today, I can't spend the proper time that it would take to explain all this. Let me just say a few things about it. There's really only a few, especially violent sections in the Old Testament that are shocking to our modern worldview. There's the story of Noah's flood. There's the Exodus and entry into the Promised Land. And apart from that, there's some passages on death penalty and so forth like that. God himself brought the flood, wiping out the whole human race except for Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives, a total of 8 people. Modern people like Bill Maher and guys like that, they just think this is outrageous, this is murderous and hateful. They can't believe in a God who would do anything like that. So they say the Bible must be the product of these ancient people, their beliefs they wrote down, and it must be ridiculous. We should just, reject it. Then there's the Exodus. Of course, God killed all the firstborn of Egypt. That's the first horror. And then he wiped out the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea. After that, he ordered the Israelites to kill every man, woman, and child in Canaan so that they could take over, you know, their land. And we're told that this is holy war. It's the same as Islam today. It's completely outrageous and unacceptable. It's backward and old-timey. It's imperialistic. It's racist and downright wicked. And then, of course, there are various incidents where people are executed under Moses, David, and others. And it seems pretty harsh to our modern sentiments. And the Jews, they had to sacrifice all those innocent animals all the time, right? So that's pretty barbaric and unnecessary, primitive, you know, to our way of thinking today, right? Sure, that's the way people see it. And many people, even Christians, have difficulty accepting these things and fitting them into their concept of religion, especially adapting them into their concept of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. There's so many things that have been said to help with this, and I wish people would look into it a little bit before they talk. Like, I recommend a book by a guy named Paul Copan. The title is God a Moral Monster? If you read this book, it'll help you to see things from a different perspective. I used to have a lot of copies on hand in my office at the church just to give out to people. It'll help you see things differently. The bottom line, like I say, I don't have time in this podcast to deal with it, but there are reasonable explanations for all of this, explanations that may not please modern people, but nevertheless, they make sense. For the purposes of today's short discussion, though, I can't go into all that. What I want to address is how many think that the New Testament God is different from the Old Testament God, or they think the New Testament is sort of an updated and more acceptable religion than the Old Testament, a reformed religion, more suitable to modern times. Recently, I had to read about Reform Judaism, and I was surprised to learn that the founders of Reform Judaism actually stated in writing that they were attempting to update Judaism to modern culture and worldviews. They clearly said that they were going to use human reason to reform their religion and bring it into the modern world. Modern Jews don't offer bloody sacrifices anymore to appease God. They believe that prayer, repentance, and living a moral life are good enough for that. Most Christians seem to also believe we need to update our religion to modern ways of thinking. I read a book some time back called The Transformation of American Religion. It was a sociological study of how religion has changed in America, and it showed some pretty clear statistics that proved basically every single religion that has come to America has softened. It's been made more palatable, more agreeable to modern American sentimentalities. And of course, in line with this is the whole debate about homosexuality. Many say we Christians used to believe in slavery, but we finally learned to reject it. We used to be sexist and think a woman's place was in the home. Women shouldn't vote. They shouldn't exercise authority and so on. But we've become less sexist now. And we've given up those old-time primitive views. And so it's only reasonable to think that we should also update our ideas on same-sex attraction and so forth. Thus, you have the Episcopalian denomination. They ordained a homosexual bishop some years back, a man who left his wife and kids to enter into a same-sex relationship. So that debate goes on and on. But you can understand what I'm getting at, the idea of reforming religions, changing religions, evolving religions. And so religions change. They adapt. And Islam, too, they say, if we just, give it time. So I have 2 points I'd like to make about that, and I hope you'll just hear me out on this. Point number one. The essential difference in thinking here has to do with one primary reality, and I would call it the reality of divine revelation. The question is this: is there really a God out there, and does he, she, or it speak or reveal anything to the human race? I submit that most people who call for the reformation of Islam and who say Judaism and Christianity have reformed or updated to fit in modern society don't really believe in this idea of revelation. They're actually, and for all practical purposes, atheists, though they may not admit that or say that. They may accept that a majority of people believe in something beyond what they can see, believe in some kind of God or religion. And they may realize that they have to sort of put up with that kind of idea because the masses do. But they don't believe that the religions 4/5 of humanity, at least, believe in. They don't believe they're actually based on reality. They don't believe any God has revealed anything absolute to mankind. I'm afraid even many Christians are not totally sure of this. They think religion's good because it promotes morality. Moral restraint on evil human tendencies and so forth. It gives comfort to people regarding death, the afterlife, times of suffering, etc., etc. But a lot of even Christians don't really think the Bible's a revelation from God. They don't think it's infallible. They think maybe the main ideas of the Bible are good, but they were communicated to a primitive people who wrote those ideas down, and so they were influenced by their times. They wrote things in a way that no longer works for modern people. So we need to reform and adapt those things and bring them into current times, and bring them into modernity, the 21st century. We need to be open to change our thinking. Here's what I want to ask such people who think that way to consider, whether Christian or not. Here's the question. What if God really does exist and can really communicate with mankind? Just entertain the thought for a minute, would you? What if there is really a God who's out there and he really can communicate with mankind? Do you think he's changing and adapting to modern developments? By the way, some Christians do believe this. There's 2 different ways of looking at it. They call it process theology, and others are into something called open theism. But they're still a minority within Christianity. So some Christians even believe this. But I'm asking, do you think God is changing and adapting to modern developments? Do you believe God used to be kind of wrathful and angry? He used to lose his temper from time to time, but he's been mellowing out over the millennia. Do you think he didn't really know how the human race was going to turn out. So he changed over the years. He allowed slavery to be abolished and elevated women and started to look with more favor on homosexuals because he saw that, you know, mankind wanted those things. And so he kind of adapted. Do you think he used to demand animal sacrifices because he knew primitive people liked that sort of thing? But then around 2000 years ago, he sort of gave up on that idea. Do you think he sent Jesus because he knew modern people wouldn't accept God 201 and they needed God 401 or 501 or whatever? They needed an updated or upgraded version of God. Do you think that's why Jesus came? Do you think God had to reinvent himself to remain relevant to modern times? You see, what I'm saying here, I submit to you, God doesn't change. He's always been omniscient and omnipotent. He's always known what was right and what was wrong. He's always been against sin. He's always revealed his wrath from heaven against it. He didn't update when he sent Jesus in the New Testament. He foretold the New Testament centuries before it came into being. He predicted it with absolute accuracy. He prophesied it. Everything, even the way the tabernacle and then the temple were designed, predicted that there would be two chambers. There would be the Old Testament and the New Testament. God planned everything with total foreknowledge and in detail. Slavery wasn't abolished because God changed his mind about it. It was mankind that he had to bring around till they gradually saw the light and were transformed by his word. When Jesus came, he elevated women like no one else ever has, but it took mankind over 1,000 years to gradually accept the kind of things he revealed. Jesus reaffirmed marriage as an institution from God for one man and one woman. He reaffirmed the need for sacrifice. He didn't do away with the need for sacrifice. He just became the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He didn't update Judaism. No, he fulfilled it. And he brought about a new covenant just as he'd promised through Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Christianity started in a hostile pagan world, and in 3 centuries, it transformed that world into a Christian world in Western Europe. And in that Christian world, things like science and democracy and capitalism and education and hospitals were all created. Hello? The Enlightenment and the humanization of mankind was fostered like nowhere else and like nothing else in all of history. God didn't change over time. God changed man over time. Jesus even talked about this when he talked about a woman mixing in yeast into a batch of dough till the whole batch was leavened. That's what God's been doing for thousands of years. Over centuries, human beings being the sinful beings they are, we keep going off and going astray and changing things. We are the ones who gradually allowed the truth of God to morph into other things, like the way the Jews changed things. By the time Jesus came, they hated God when he stood in front of them in human flesh. And within just a very few hundred years, even the truths Jesus had given gradually morphed into the Roman Catholic system. What I'm saying to you is, look, humans always tend to forget things God has revealed and to change them and fail to live up to them. This happened under the Old Testament over and over again. Humans are always weak, confused, defective, and sinful. Humans change. But hear what I'm saying. Not all Catholics were completely estranged from God or completely wrong and sinful. I just took a course in medieval theology, and it was really very interesting. And there's always been a people of God through the Roman Catholic Church and through the Eastern Orthodox Church. There's always been people who love God, and God's always been working through all the branches of Christianity, and he continues to be. There were and there are many who love God and follow his word in all 3 of the major branches of Christianity. But what I'm saying is the overall system drifted and it needed to be reformed. So the Reformation came starting in the 1500s and it created a huge upheaval. It was an awakening to the fact that the Christian movement had changed and slipped and gotten some things wrong, gotten off track. So it was a reform movement with the aim of reforming by getting back to what? The original teachings of the Bible, the original ways of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't an update of Christianity to conform to modern times. Rather, it was a return to more of what Christianity was originally about. And that brings me to the second main point I want to make today. And this is regarding Islam. People want to encourage a reformation of Islam, an update to modern ways and times. But my second point here in this podcast is just this. Those who call for such a reformation really have no idea what they're really calling for. I'm not trying to insult you or insult them. I'm telling you, you're not really thinking this thing through. First of all, do you know anything about what it is to be a religious person? I submit that probably most people who are calling for this reformation stuff, they don't. They're secular for the most part, these reporters and all. So religion is pretty much a world that they can't really relate to. Nothing is absolute in their worldview. Everything's fluid and changing. The Constitution's a fluid document that needs to be adapted to the modern world. Religion is nice, but it has to conform to modern worldviews. I want to ask you folks who are like that, who are secular in your mindset, do you realize how ridiculous that sounds of us to those of us who truly are religious, who truly do believe in our religions? Do you know how that sounds to us? Listen, even many or most American Christians nowadays, according to sociological studies, don't really live their lives according to the teachings of the Bible. They're not as committed to living by God's revelation as they might even think. When it comes to sexual practices and beliefs, what they do with their finances, how they witness, their personal lifestyles, far too many who call themselves Christians don't live by what they say is God's word. Instead, they live by their own preferences, just like the secular folks. But to those of us who really try to live by the revelation of God, who really believe the Bible is God's revelation to man, the idea of updating our beliefs to conform with modern society is not only wrong, it's dangerous. And if it's that way to us as Christians who really believe the Bible, don't you understand how it seems to devoted Muslims? Listen, they are not trying to update. They believe modern ways are not just misguided, they're evil. They believe democracy is evil. But secondly, and this is my last point, do people who call for a reformation of Islam understand what Islam really is? Hello! I'm sorry to insult you, but have you read the Quran? I have. Have you read the Hadith? Do you really understand what this is about? Have you studied about the life of Muhammad? By the way, did you know many scholars today are not even sure the man existed? Look online. You can watch YouTube clips from Robert Spencer or from a guy named Jay Smith in the UK. There's a growing body of evidence that kind of shows that Muhammad may not have even existed. But listen, here's my point. Whether he existed or not, the Reformation of Christianity was an attempt to return to the Bible alone as a standard of living and to the original ways and teachings of Jesus. What would a Reformation of Islam entail, folks, if not a return to the origins of Islam and its prophet? Hello? Does the word ISIS ring any bells? When our forces brought enough peace to Iraq to allow them free elections, what did they vote for? What did the majority want? An Islamic state, Sharia. When the people of Iran had a chance to break free from a Western puppet, the Shah, what did they bring in to replace him? The Ayatollah Khomeini. What are Islamists calling for everywhere? Sharia, a return to the origins of Islam. Hear what I'm saying. My point is this. So-called moderate Muslims, what are they? Listen, I am not trying to insult you, but what are moderate Muslims? Folks, they're compromisers. They're people who want to use human reason and human advancements in their thinking, which, by the way, not to insult you, but all these advancements came about through Christianity and the Christian worldview and the Word of God. They want to use those kind of things to try and think through how to change Islam. I submit to you that they're people who have common sense, who love their heritage and their people. They've been brought up Muslims, so they naturally love their religion. They love their background. They identify with it as a people, and they want to retain what they think is good from all that while getting rid of or changing whatever is no longer acceptable and what's causing the turmoil, the violence, and the death in the world. I can understand that. I think most people have good in them. We're all created in the image of God. So common sense people among the Muslims recognize that Islam itself is the cause of the problems and they want to reform it and bring it into the 21st century. But my friends, listen, reforming Islam, that would really just be morphing it into something it never was. You can't reform Islam without just creating another religion. It wouldn't be the same as the teachings of Muhammad or whoever it was that really got it started. Not only that, the vast majority of Muslims, they'll never accept the Reformation of Islam. Face it, look at, even the majority of Christians remained outside the Reformation. Have you noticed? To this day, there are still more Catholics and Orthodox than there are Protestants. And our Reformation was far less drastic than what Islam would need. It'll never happen, folks, the Reformation of Islam. God, he doesn't change. The problem is, some people have the wrong God, the wrong revelation of God. We need to come back to the Bible, and you don't reform that. It was revealed by the Almighty and Omniscient God, and the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's all the time I have today. I got to wrap this up. I hope I didn't insult you, but I think some people really need to rethink these things. You really need to face reality. Now, if you disagree with me or have anything to add or comment, I'd love to hear about it. Please click on the little box at the bottom here, scroll down, and send me a comment. I'll respond to you. Till next time, may the Lord richly bless you, and may God open all of our eyes.